It's the Kim Monson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
I find that it takes work to get your brain around these ideas, and it takes work to engage in these conversations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
With what is happening down at the State House, I used to think that it was above my pay grade to read the legislation, and it's not.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
I see big danger in as much as we will be giving an unelected bureaucrat the power to make rules about what we inject into our body.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation, and welcome to the Kim Monson Show. Thank you so much for joining us. Each of you are treasured, valued. You have purpose. Today, strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. You were made for this time. Thank you to this team I work with. That's producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, and all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. Lots of work to do, producer Steve.
Sometimes it's so overwhelming, I walk out of here with my head spinning.
It's amazing. It is amazing what all we're working on. And be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Monson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. And thank you to each and every one of you who support us as well. Our voter's guide is at KimMunson.com. And we have analyzed the three statewide issues, as well as I did an in-depth analysis of the Lone Tree proposal, a 55% increase in the retail sales tax rate there. And I'm hoping that you can use that as a template as you are looking at the tax questions that are on your ballots as well. There's very few tax increases that I would recommend. Ideally, what needs to happen is government needs to get out of the way. Lower taxes, lower fees, lower rules, lower regulations. Unleash the private sector. And then the pie grows, and as the pie grows, government revenues grow. The problem is the PBIs lose their control, and that's why they prefer to increase taxes. As Vladimir Lenin said, the Russian dictator, the way to crush the middle class is through taxation and inflation, and we see that big time right now. This is a great show. It's a Levine Levy Thursday. How's that? In studio with me is Karen Levine, a great sponsor of both the shows, the Kim Monson Show and America's Veteran Stories. And Karen is an award-winning realtor with REMAX Alliance. It's always great to have you here, Karen.
And it's always great to be here.
Lots to talk about. For sure. Lauren Levine, what's your final thoughts?
Never again.
In-studio joke.
That is an in-studio joke for sure. Lauren Levy, great to have you as well. You are a mortgage specialist with Polygon Financial Group. That is your company. And you work with a lot of different mortgage companies, so you can really help tailor something for each individual, which is just super.
That's all. Yeah. Thanks for having me back.
So we're going to be talking about a lot of different things. Some housekeeping items, though. First of all, I was talking to our researcher, Patty, after the show, and she said, Kim, you really butchered the name of our quote for the day. And she's a philosophy major, I think, and she's like, it's not Camus. He was a French philosopher. His name was Camus, I think is correct. And so hopefully I'm getting that close. I needed to get that correct, Steve, because we like to keep things correct. But that was my Western Kansas pronunciation instead of the French pronunciation of his name.
Well, we won't fault you there. And thank goodness today it's Friedman, and that one you can probably nail.
I should be able to do
along with Levy and Levine. I mean, come on.
Hopefully, we'll keep our fingers crossed on that. So you're referring to our quote for the day, and this is from Milton Friedman. He was born in 1912, died in 2006. He was an American economist and statistician who received the 1976 Nobel Memorial Prize in Economic Sciences for his research on consumption analysis, monetary history, and the theory on complexity of stabilization policy. With George Stigler and others, Friedman was among the intellectual leaders of the Chicago School of Economics, a neoclassical school of economic thought associated with the work of the faculty at the University of Chicago. It rejected the Keynesian model of economics in favor of monetarism until the mid-1970s when it turned to new classical macroeconomics heavily based on the concept of rational expectations. Actually, I think I was really speaking Lauren Levy's language right there.
I was thinking, me and economics didn't get along really well in college, and it just sums up the macroeconomic part.
There you go. But Lauren, I think you understood all those things I was saying, yes?
Sort of. I liked economics in college, so that's about the only thing I did well.
So here's his quote, though. It says, Congress can raise taxes because it can persuade a sizable fraction of the populace that somebody else will pay. And that's, Steve, what we see going on with this 55% increase in Lone Tree. Is one of the things that the PBIs are saying is that most of the taxes will be coming from people that come and shop or dine in Lone Tree. But what they don't remind you is you live in Lone Tree and you're going to have a 55% increase on all your purchases in store or online, except for food items and also cars. We actually don't charge sales tax, city sales tax on cars. And the reason is actually when they were trying to get the city put together and trying to get support for that, I was on the homeowners board and they called and they said, you know, we'd like you to not get in the way of this. And I said, well, this looks to be like this is going to be very expensive for people. Like, for example, if they go and buy a car, just think how much sales tax they're going to have to pay. They said, okay, we'll take cars out of that. And so that's why you don't have to pay city sales tax on your cars in Lone Tree. There you go.
A reason to move to the Lone Tree?
Well, not if this sales tax passes. So.
Well, that quote applies to the big bill that Congress is talking about today because they're trying to get the billionaires to pay for it or anybody else over 400,000, which is not billionaires.
That is not billionaires. No,
that's middle America.
That is middle America. So, again, you know, if they can talk somebody into thinking somebody else is going to pay, good point. I hadn't even thought about that.
Well, in the Castle Rock initiative as well. Let's charge $7 a square foot on new construction. So that's somebody else paying for the benefit of the community, and yet it's going to harm the community.
And it's going to make... Then there's a difference between affordable housing and housing that is affordable. Mm-hmm. The affordable housing industrial complex is alive and well. Government, PBIs, wanting to pick winners and losers on housing. The way to make housing affordable is, first of all, not to charge $7 a square foot on new bills, mm-hmm. because a 3,000 square foot house, that's $21,000. But Wayne Harlos was in yesterday. He's the state chair of the Libertarian Party, lives in Castle Rock. And he said this is also regarding multifamily housing. So, for example, if you have a 1,000 square foot apartment
condo.
Or condo, that's an additional $7,000 right there.
And well, and are they going to charge it new construction? So he was referring to a new apartment building. That developer, I mean, the profit margin already on new construction is very minimal. It's 7 to 8%, which is not a lot of profit for them to take the risk. And then you're going to add $7 a square foot on a 5-story apartment building? Phew.
Yeah. It's pretty amazing. So we'll continue and talk about a few more of those things as we get into the second segment. Last night, the girls got together, and of course, I got Hooters wings, which I love the smoked wings because they're half the calories. But the specials, they have football specials on Mondays, Thursdays, and on the weekend, and they have dine-in specials. And they have to-go specials. And then also, if you're going to have friends over, they have a party pack where you can, it's $80, and it includes 50 wings and pickles, fried pickles, cheese sticks, a whole bunch of things. So if you're going to have friends over, that's a great thing to do is pick that up and bring that home. So check out all of my sponsors at KimMunson.com. And I highly recommend each and every one of them. And, of course, Karen Levine and Lauren Levy are great sponsors there as well. Karen, last night at our meeting, Douglas County Commissioner Laura Thomas was there, and she was talking about this lawsuit that the Douglas County School Board has decided to sue the county commissioners, Douglas County, regarding they had said basically no mask mandate in Douglas County, but Douglas County Schools wants to mandate that every child wear a mask. And so they are suing Douglas County. And this is pretty groundbreaking here. That's why these school board races are super important, is because they're doing this lawsuit hiding under the Americans for Disability, ADA. ADA, and saying that some kids, they have to be masked because...
Of health reasons.
Of health reasons.
Yeah.
But then there's a whole bunch of parents that have said, my child, if they are masked, they can't see the teacher speak. They can't, you know, they're not learning. And so it's going to be very interesting. Unfortunately, the federal judge that looked at the case is a Democrat. And so he ruled that there should be mask mandates. And I was thinking about this on the way in, is because one of the girls that said that they know this particular judge and that he's a very nice man. And I know a lot of people that I would say they're nice. However, where we are now in our country, I know some nice people that I think are not doing good things. And one of those is taking other people's freedoms. And Lauren, do you want to bite that off? Does that make any sense? I was just driving.
It makes total sense. I mean, how often do you talk to someone in a conversation and really dig deep into how they would vote on something or where they stand on an issue? You can be very nice in everyday conversation, and then till push comes to shove and you have to take a stand one way or the other, and that's when you find out where they stand, you know?
Right. And I don't think it's good to take other people's freedom. We talk about it all the time on the show, freedom versus force, force versus freedom. It's never compassionate or nice to take other people's rights, their property, their freedom, or livelihood via force, whether with a weapon, policy, unpredictable and excessive taxation, fear, coercion, or the latest silent thief, which is government-induced inflation. If something's a good idea, you shouldn't have to use force to implement it. Karen, do you want to weigh in on this nice versus good thing?
Well, in having the conversation last night, I walked away trying to be very thoughtful about it and trying to understand both sides of the story, the without mask and the with mask, and was having a conversation in the car on the way home. And democracy is for the betterment of the majority, and we're in a situation where we're seeing us as a nation make decisions for the betterment of the minority, so at the cost of the majority. So in the case of this masking situation, Douglas County has chosen to empower parents to make those decisions. And it sounds like there's a very small group of parents who are trying to protect their kids and want them masked, but at the expense of those who don't want to be masked. And so I'm trying to figure out, what's best for the majority? What does that look like so that our children can get educated?
Well, I think there could be free market answers to this. First of all, if masks work, then if you're wearing one, you shouldn't worry about somebody else not wearing one, correct?
Well, that was sort of my logic, but other people have other logic that it's my responsibility to wear a mask to protect them with or without a mask.
So I really think this is coming down more to a freedom versus force question. And you mentioned democracy, and we're actually a constitutional republic. And the reason that the founders did that is to protect the minority from the majority. And so in a democracy, basically, it can be two wolves and a lamb voting for what's for dinner. And so a constitutional republic is put in place to protect also the minority, because a democracy, once you get to 51%, 51% can vote to, for example, tax the rich and yet not tax themselves. And so that's why this whole thing it's so important. But this is an assault, really, of what we've seen on individual freedom. So I want to go to break. When we come back, I've got another question on the table for you two. We want to talk about this big spending bill, inflation. We'll get to that in the third and fourth segment, home ownership, all that. We're going to go to break, and when we come back, we'll be talking with Karen Levine and Lauren Levy.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Weeks ahead, you know, timing.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to all of you who support us. We were talking a bit in the first segment about this. This federal judge has decided to stop Douglas County parents from exempting their children from wearing masks in school. And this is right before this election. And when you go to my voter's guide on there, I have actually put some recommended candidates for a variety of the different school board races. I think we're going to be adding to that. I've had some trusted people that have been doing vetting on this. But it is very important to take a look. I actually have had these four candidates for Douglas County School Board on the show: Becky Myers, Kaylee Weiniger, Christy Williams, and Mike Peterson. And be sure and check them out. They're Vote for Kids First. And check them out. And when they were on, basically all of them came down on the freedom side of this forced masking. And I think that's really, really important. The other thing is there can be a free market answer to this. And that is parents and teachers that want to wear masks, they could be in one classroom, and there could be another classroom that would not have that. And that seems to me like a no-brainer to try to figure that out. Karen, your thoughts on that?
Well, I think that's a very good thought. And I think as we talk about the school board elections, we don't want to leave out Douglas. Obviously, Douglas County, super important. Jefferson County, which is also one of the largest school districts in our state, and used to be rated in the top 10, have a new superintendent, and the candidates that I'm supporting, and you're going to have to help me, but it's Teresa, Jeff, and Katie.
Teresa, let's see, Shelton, Jeff Wilhite, and Kathy Mix.
Kathy Mix, mm-hmm. Yes. And I've met with all three of them, super impressed as far as they really want to seek improvement in our education in Jefferson County. And they are looking at it from a governance perspective and very thoughtful. And I think looking also at the freedom of parents to have choice. So a lot of good things about those candidates as well.
And school districts are important regarding home ownership, correct?
Very important. And being a product of Jefferson County schools, I saw the great education I got. And of course, I would like that to be passed on to nieces and grandkids and my clients' kids and their grandkids. And people want to live in areas that have strong, healthy schools.
To that point, and Lauren, I want to ask you about this. Some of my friends have been walking neighborhoods for some of these school board candidates, and there is sometimes some apathy with people that don't have kids. They say, well, these school boards, it doesn't really matter to me. And my friend responded, well, you pay taxes, your property taxes. And somebody said, well, I have the homestead exemption, and so it doesn't really matter to me. And I realize when we start peeling, when we start peeling out different people, that this person pays taxes, this doesn't, then, and when they don't have the same skin in the game, I think we make poor decisions at the ballot box. Your thoughts on that, Lauren?
I agree 100%. I think you're making the point that the majority of people only care about what affects them first and foremost, not their community necessarily and not their neighbors. Mm-hmm. But to say that I have the homestead exemption, I only pay half taxes and all that, but we're talking about your value of your home. If your schools are in bad shape, your home value will drop fast. And I don't care what you pay for property taxes, because those will go down automatically because the value of your home will go down. So if you ever think about reselling or passing that property on to your heirs when you die, you want to be passed on a high value property. And poor schools are going to cause your property value to drop.
And our kids have been falling behind. As we have seen, these school boards have been taken over by school board members that don't have really kids and teachers' best interest in mind. Instead, they have been carrying the water for the teachers' unions. And we have seen from curriculum, they've been pushing this critical race theory or cousins of that. Sexualizing our children during the school day instead of learning reading, writing, arithmetic, science, critical thinking, history, civic, you know, just all those things. And all of a sudden people are going, wait a minute. And that's why these school board races are so important. These off-year elections, are the voter turnout is very low. Right now, there's about 10%, it depends, but maybe about 10% of voters that have returned their ballots. And as we had talked earlier in the week, Abraham Lincoln said that if people don't end up voting, they're going to get blisters on their behind. They're going to get what they deserved, and it's going to be very painful, was his point. And so people need to be paying attention. But it's gotten so complicated. That's why we've done our voter's guide, to try to help people with that, Karen.
Well, and I think it's a great resource. So definitely sit down tonight, tomorrow night, get those ballots filled out. And I think we talked about, you know, getting them mailed in or dropped off Monday, Tuesday.
You be sure and drop them off.
Drop them off. It's a little late, right?
A little late to mail
You
them.
See the same argument, and we could talk about whether it's good or bad, these mill levies when they go out and ask for those. And we could talk about, you know, more money for schools, less money for schools. But the same people say, well, I don't have kids in school anymore, so I'm going to vote no automatically. But then potentially they're hurting their schools, potentially, and their home value there too. You know, it's similar to saying, I don't have any kids in school, so I don't care about the school board. I mean, you should have an opinion one way or the other.
It's a civic duty, Lauren. It is a civic duty. And that's why these elections are so important. So again, hopefully that voter's guide is a big help. Steve, as we were doing our pre-call on the way in, you had mentioned that you were listening to the rebroadcast of our show yesterday, and we always talk about PBIs, those politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties. But you wanted to dig into that a little bit more.
Well, you coined this phrase, probably 2 years ago, and we're used to hearing you say PBIs. And it went past me yesterday as I was going down I-25, and I thought, okay, politicians we know, bureaucrats we know, interested parties, maybe we need to flesh that out, because, you know, they're here one day and gone the next. And what is an interested party?
Well, they're not really gone the next. And so I think that we can take a look at Proposition 119. And this is an excellent example. Proposition 119 is this new marijuana tax, quote unquote, for the children. But as we really looked into it, it's for cronies. And so you see that ballot question that is on the ballot, but sometimes there is a whole initiative behind that, and we've actually linked that in our voter's guide as well. I don't know of anybody else that does that, so that you have all of it right there. It's 14 pages long. Proposition 119 is 14 pages long. You should probably vote no on it just because of that. But what this puts in place is an unaccountable board. So it's unelected. There's 9 members on this board. They are appointed by this governor. And then they choose their replacements. And how that works, it says it right there in the 14 pages, that they will take public input. And then that board member that is leaving will come to the governor at that time with suggestions on who would replace them. So it takes away the purveyance of the next governor to be able to choose a replacement, because it says right there that the person gets to choose their replacement. And then they have taxing powers. This is another thing. This authority board, it can accept gifts. It can accept gifts from other governmental entities, organizations, individuals. Can we see influence peddling there at all? And they're unaccountable to the people. They're unaccountable to the state legislature, the state board of education, or any future governors. So just on those things, I would say no. But you want to take a look at interested parties. When you look at the let's see, the testimony, well, let's see, I can't remember, Patty, you'll have to let me know. It was either the testimony or maybe it was when they were putting together the Blue Book. Tony Lewis, who is the founder of Reschool, has been working for 20 years on this kind of an after-school program. And over in the nonprofit, private sector, that's fine. But now what you have is you're going to have taxes coming in that will be paid to somebody to choose all of these different vendors. And all those different vendors will be living off of this government money as well. So, Steve, those are the interested parties. The person that will be, the group that will be running this, the people or the groups that will be the vendors, and they're not accountable to the people whatsoever.
Well, let me change the way I describe that. They're here today and you wish they were gone tomorrow. But I heard yesterday, not probably two or three times, the Yes on 119 ad on 93.7. And they specifically zero in on the Brocker piece that he did for the Denver Post and said, get the money out of the hands of the politicians and put it into this special group of people. And we're saying, wait a minute, that's exactly the problem here.
That is exactly the problem. And granted, we may not be excited what's happening down at the state legislature, but they're accountable to us. And we will have elections for that. This thing, never again will there be any accountability to that. And so that is why we are a strong no on this. And don't be fooled by, and unfortunately, we have Republicans that are supporting this. And again, this is antithetical to representative government. This is one of the reasons that Colorado is in the position it's in right now, is because we have had people that are Republicans that have not stood for this principle of representative government, and that's why we're a strong no on this. We have had some success on this. That side also, Steve, I will mention, last we checked, the Pro 119 had about $1.7 million. We're doing this with zero. It is all grassroots. And so it's a tall order. It is a David and Goliath fight, but it's a fight worth having. So let's go to break. Before we do that, though, another great partner of ours is Kirsch Insurance Group. They are experts in the Medicare field, and they're like Lauren Levy, who with Polygon Financial Group. They work with a lot of different companies so that they can tailor this just for you. We're in the open enrollment period right now, October 15th through December 7th. That's the time you can make new decisions about your 2022 Medicare plan. It doesn't cost you anything to sit down with Marlon and Danielle and Naomi and the whole team over there at Kirsch Insurance Group. So go to iKirsch, that's iKirsch .com for more information. And we'll be right back with Lauren Levy and Karen Levine.
Home ownership and private property rights help you build wealth for you and your family. RE/MAX Alliance award-winning realtor Karen Levine understands this. Supply is super tight right now. This is why you need a seasoned professional with excellent negotiating skills on your side of the table, whether buying or selling an existing home or buying a new build. As a member of the National Association of Realtors Board of Directors, Karen Levine volunteers hours of her time to help you build your American dream. Call her today at 303-877-7516. Again, that's 303-877-7516.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Americans Veteran Stories with Kim Munson, Sunday afternoons at 3. Here on KLZ 560 AM and KLZ 100.7.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website, kimmunson.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. The voter's guide is there. Be sure and be an informed voter. One other thing, we were talking about how important it is to vote. But if you're not informed and don't know what you're voting on, don't vote. But that's why we've done the voter's guide, is so that you have the tools there to make an informed vote. So be sure and check that out. Also, America's Veteran Stories, we're going to record that a little bit later this morning. And very excited, last week we had Colin Cahoon on, who'd written the book Mended Wings, which was about 10 different Vietnam helicopter pilots that received the Purple Heart for injuries that they received in combat. Today we will be interviewing Pruitt Helm, and he is one of those stories in the book. So it's going to be really fascinating, and that will broadcast this Sunday at 3 p.m. In studio with me is Karen Levine, award-winning realtor with RE/MAX Alliance, and Lauren Levy. He is the founder of Polygon Financial Group, which is specializes in mortgages. And Lauren, let's go to you first. When I did the promo, I said that we would be talking about inflation, taxation, and interest rates. This big bill that they're talking about, $3.5 trillion, and they're saying that only the rich are going to have to pay for this. What's your thoughts on it?
I have a lot of thoughts on it, but I was even listening about it today, and there's really two bills that are getting mingled as one, so it makes it very hard. The one bill is infrastructure, roads, bridges, tunnels, and I think to everybody that makes sense that the infrastructure of our country needs help. The other one is more of a social one with this parental leave and other things that are tied in, which has all kinds of fluff in it. That's the one that hopefully they're arguing about. But anytime you flood the market with money, you're creating inflation. And so we already have inflation. The question is, how much more can we withstand? And so this bill is going to create additional inflation. And in my world, we talk about this every Wednesday, Kim. We have the Federal Reserve in there as a buffer to kind of help control inflation on mortgage rates. And it helps Karen with real estate as well. It's a buying power. You know, if you raise interest rates by 1%, you're going to really lower the buying power of buyers because the monthly payment on their mortgage will go up by a lot. So for now, the Federal Reserve is in there as in protecting buyers and helping people refinance. But as they taper and move away, which they're talking about doing soon, we could see a lot more problems for buyers.
So Lauren, question. As you were mentioning, as they flood the market, inflation occurs. And when I was up in Grand Lake for U.S. Constitution Week, and Patty, my researcher, went with me, she was just looking at some of the prices there, and they've gone up significantly. And so you mentioned interest rates are low, but as you flood the market and the costs go up for everything, including trying to get into a new home, it's also a way that makes it more and more difficult for people to, you know, to create wealth, to buy things. But it's much more subtle in some ways. People, it's kind of like they don't really realize they're being burned, but they are.
Well, and I think home values go up for a multitude of reasons. Demand is one of them. If you have a lot of demand for a property, the price is going to be driven up. But then you have input costs that it costs to build that property. And if that's the reason the price is going up, that's a different story. That's true inflation, where a builder has to pass on the cost and still get their profit. And that's what I'm talking about with flooding the market with money. You know, if it takes, you know, $3 to buy a loaf of bread today when it used to take $1.50, that's true inflation, right? Mm-hmm. That's when you have a lot more dollars floating around out there, so it takes more to get the same thing. So that's what we're trying to, what I worry about, what we want to avoid.
Well, for sure. And then I'm just heading over here to you, Karen. I'm thinking about inflation. This Castle Rock, $7 per square foot, I mean, that's inflating those prices. Mm-hmm. So that's a different kind of government-induced inflation.
Exactly. And I think when Lauren talks about the different aspects of this big spending bill that they're negotiating or, you know, discussing, initially, and you and I talked about it months ago, is that in the infrastructure bill, there is incentive for communities to get rid of single-family zoning to be able to take the money that the government would give them for roads. So if you're willing to do this, you can have the money to improve your roads.
It's like a shakedown.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's assault home ownership so that you can have nice roads to drive on, but you won't have any houses to live in.
Well, and they don't want you to drive in a car either.
Oh,
so
right.
Maybe that's a kind of a bait and switch as well.
Yeah.
Okay, next thing, and you and I talked about this last night. I asked Grover Norquist about this, I guess, yesterday. and that is they're talking about taxing unrealized gains. So, for example, if your house value goes up, you would have to pay taxes on that value going up, even if you're not going to move. This is another way to price people out of their homes, Karen.
That almost makes me sick to my stomach. I mean, you think about, we assess property in Colorado every 2 years. We just had an assessment in May. I would say everybody's property went up. So everyone, their assessed value is higher, and they're not selling. But if they were selling, not only is their property taxes going to go up just because their value went up, which Lauren alluded to, there now, if you impose this non-realized tax, people won't be able to stay in their homes, which I have been very resistant to believe this is the case, but I'm starting to buy in that they don't want us to own our homes.
It's sure looking like that. What do you think about this unrealized gain possible?
It's huge. I hadn't even read that it was affecting houses, just being honest. So I need to do more homework. I know they're going after, like, stocks. Because there's not only the unrealized gain, but there's the whole cost basis and what you can pass on. That's called stepped up basis that people can pass on to their heirs, and they're really going after that. So as an example, right now, if you bought Apple stock today, Kim, at 300, 10 years from now it was worth 500, and you pass away, you pass that on to your heirs. They get it at 500.
Okay.
It's called stepped up basis. There's no tax paid on that 300 to 500 gain. And the thought process is that's how wealthy people pass on their money, is through stepped up basis. And so they're attacking that. So they want you to pay your taxes when you realize the gain from that 300 to 500 so that it's paid. So that's a big thing I'm hearing a lot about, but I hadn't heard about attacking it on homes. There's a lot of people on fixed incomes that own homes and have worked hard to pay off those homes. And they're not going to have the money to pay those taxes. They're just not.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know so much that they don't want you to own their home. They just want their money. And however they have to get it at the cost of your home, so be it, I guess.
I'm going to say they don't want their money. They want your money.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They think it's their money.
They want what they think is their money.
Mm-hmm. I can't even believe that they're kicking this around. But they are. And, you know, Karen, when you and I, we went through that World Economic Forum 2030, and one of the things that Klaus Schwab said is that, and all those there at Davos, is that you will own nothing and you'll be happy about it. And you and I both kind of thought that's crazy, but there is such an assault on the middle class in America right now. And it looks like they're moving at warp speed because the 2022 elections are right around the corner. If we can just hang on, not have them destroy all of this before then, we've got a lot of work to do, Karen.
A lot of work to do. And I think it's so subtle. And we're all so busy. We've created a life of busyness that we're not paying attention to just some basic things that are affecting our day-to-day living. And we were talking about, our team was talking about, what does it look like if we start to move into the next recession, and how do we prepare for that? And that's a scary conversation from the standpoint I look back on the 2008-09 recession and how it affected our household and family. And I don't want to experience that again, but how do we prepare for it when all this government taxation and policy and is at warp speed and we're trying to slow it down, hopefully to save our financial well-being as individuals, as the country's kind of destroying the country's financial well-being?
Do they credit you back if we enter a downturn?
Just thinking that too.
I kind of doubt it. What do you think?
Yeah. You get a massive tax break 5 years from now if your house drops in value because you've already paid taxes and all that gain.
Mm-hmm.
I doubt that that would be the case.
No, they'd have another reason to tax you when it goes back up again.
Exactly.
Well, and then also Biden is talking about hiring a whole bunch more IRS officers. And in the Declaration of Independence, one of the usurpations is that King George had many of his agents to go swarm upon the people and eat out their substance. And that looks to me like one of the things that they're trying to do. Lauren, and Karen alluded to this, people are busy. The heat's getting turned up. They don't realize it. And by the time that they finally do, we're going to have some big problems. What do you think?
Well, and they're only hearing what they are, the channel they're choosing to watch. You know, and that's what Steve and I were talking about when I got in here today. Like, if you only listen to the headline, it probably doesn't seem so bad. You know, if you don't read down into the, like you're saying with this 119, if you don't read into the bill, people are like, oh, tax marijuana. I don't smoke marijuana. Tax it all you want.
Right.
And then they don't read into it, and then they don't know what they're voting on.
Well, and it has been pretty brilliant that those on the Pro 119 side is, again, you choose, you segment out this particular industry to tax that for the children, but then you look at it, and it's the cronies that are pushing this. They get to take, the authority gets to take 10% off the top for administrative expenses. That's a pretty healthy margin.
Yeah.
Pretty healthy.
Right?
When you consider home builders are around 7%, 8%.
We're in the wrong business.
Right.
We need to create a bill, I'm telling you.
Come up with a bill. Well, and we talk about unintended consequences, and we talk about the construction defect legislation that was put into effect over a decade ago. How has it affected home ownership in the state of Colorado when we're not building condominium attached dwelling units because the risk to the developer is so great? And so on Monday, we had 1,258 attached units for sale in the Metro Denver area. Last year, we had 2,400. We are absorbing them so fast and no new ones are being built. But at the time, those policymakers thought that was protecting the people.
Okay, and that's a whole nother conversation, is how they couch, because those that have been pushing these are really Marxist policies. They've been doing this for a long time, long ball. For example, when at the beginning of the show, when we had the soundbite about, I said, I'm concerned that there could be an unelected bureaucrat at some point in time that could dictate what we put into our body. That was pre-COVID when we did that. And what had happened is a number of moms had reached out to me when they were doing the vaccine legislation two or three years ago down at the State House. And I'd always, you know, I vaccinated my kids. I thought vaccines were a great idea. But then when I read the bill, I'm like, oh my gosh, I see this danger. Well, then fast forward to COVID. You've got all these health departments that are dictating all this. And so they've been playing long ball.
Mm-hmm.
They've been playing long ball on housing. They've been playing long ball on all this. And what's interesting is the veil has come off on the agenda. And I do think that people are paying attention. And Lauren, I think that's why they're trying to move at warp speed to get this spending bill before people really wake up and go, wait a minute. Your thought?
No, my thought is I hope that we can just undo this damage when we get the chance, you know. But, you know, you talk about this Castle Rock thing. Builders aren't going to eat this $7 charge, you know.
They can't.
No, they're not just going to stroke a check and be like, okay, that's the cost to build a house. We're just going to raise the price. So it just backfires on the people they're trying. They think they're protecting, you know. These apartment complexes, they're just going to raise the rent.
Right.
It doesn't create affordable housing. It does the opposite because for-profit companies are not going to make no profit.
Let's go to break because I want to talk about this no-profit kind of a thing. In studio with me is Karen Levine and Lauren Levy. Karen's with the RE/MAX Alliance. Lauren Levy is a mortgage specialist, Polygon Financial Group. We should give phone numbers. You know what? Karen, what's your phone number?
My phone number is 303-877-7516.
And Lauren, what's your phone number?
303-880-8881.
And people can get all that information on my website as well. We're going to go to break. Before we do that, another great sponsor is Castlegate Knife and Tool, located right here in Sedalia, Colorado. Hal and Linnea Van Herke are true entrepreneurs, and they have knives from the best blade makers from throughout the world. So whether or not you are a sportsman or a collector or a chef, Castlegate Knife and Tool is the place for you. We'll be right back with Lauren Levy and Karen Levine.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Be an informed voter. I'm Kim Munson, and I'm here to help. Be sure to check out my We the People Voters Guide at Kim Munson, that's MONSON.com. Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. Lauren, you said something just recently about have them run a business. And one of the things that's so unique about the American idea is that people would have property rights and that they should be able to keep most of the fruits of their labor. We all realize that there's a portion that needs to be paid in taxes. But when government is big, the individual is small. When the individual is big, government needs to be smaller. But when the individual is big, people thrive and they flourish and they prosper. There has been this assault on making a profit. As for example, nonprofits used to be very kind of virtue signaling if I work for a nonprofit. Well, I volunteered for a number of nonprofits, and I was going through budgets, and I'm like, wait a minute. Everybody there seems to be making some pretty nice salaries and pensions, so they are making a profit, and they also have become a business. They just don't pay taxes, whereas a business does pay taxes, and the profit motive. So last night, we were talking about property rights and HOAs and kind of being a good neighbor. So I think the question was, short-term rentals? Was that what it
was?
Well,
we were talking short-term rental, but the initial conversation had to do with the neighbor in a community that wife was doing hair, you know, cutting, coloring, hair, you know, services in her home. And also they were doing doggy daycare. When they bought into that community, the zoning and the PD, planned unit development document that's recorded, stated that there were limitations to what you could do in your home as far as businesses. And this neighbor is not adhering to that. I think that's a problem. I mean, they knew that going in. I don't want to take away property rights that they had going in, but they should adhere to the rights they were given initially.
Okay, but there's also a property right. There's a responsibility, and we talked about it on the way up. Mm-hmm. Ben Martin always says that liberty is the responsible exercise of freedom. However, with the downturn in the economy, with people being forced, you have to have a vaccine or this or that to be able to go into different businesses, it seems like people might have some kind of a business at their home. And I think that, again, to be discreet, to be respectful of other neighbors, I would like to have that flexibility. But what happens then, Lauren, is somebody abuses it. Mm-hmm. So one of the girls came up to me afterwards and she said, I have a neighbor across the street. He's running a body shop business out of his house. There's cars everywhere. You know, there's all the stuff that goes with it. And he's really affecting our home values. And then to her point, she also had a neighbor down the street that was cutting hair. And then another guy that was repairing cars, but one car at a time in his garage. Which she said that's not that much different than, you know, somebody that likes to work on cars. So, but because of this guy over here, you might be taking away the opportunity for people to discreetly be able to make a living. What's your thoughts?
I had something similar. It didn't directly affect me, but my next door neighbor was cutting hair and had built out their basement into like a hair salon, and I don't care. But the thing about the HOA was the vehicles coming and going. And what that means as far as traffic in the area and, you know, kids and other things that happen in that area. And so at some level, you have a sense of community, too, right, of it mm-hmm. being a neighborhood and taking care of each other and not just about yourself. So I see both sides of it. I mean, you should have the freedom to do what you want, but, I mean, does that apply to, you know, any business? I mean,
Well, and see, that's the question. So, but this is the other thing that I was thinking about this, is if, in fact, she was cutting somebody's hair, but wasn't making any money on it, then the government doesn't have, it's always about profit. I remember when I was on city council, there was a mom that was doing exercises in the park with other moms with new little ones. And once the, well, I think it was the rec district got wind of that, that she was making money on that, then they didn't want to let her do that. But if it was just a bunch of moms getting together and wanting to exercise, that was okay. So there's this subtle assault on people making a living.
And I think it just has to do with a business, right? Because if you're just getting together with other moms, technically you're not running a business in a public park.
Yeah.
Versus if you need a business license to operate, and there's all that other
stuff
that goes on.
I'm not sure we have to really have that.
Yeah. But also, there had to be somebody that complained.
Right.
That's typically what starts all this, right? I don't think the city's out looking at the park on a Tuesday morning looking at these moms with their babies and saying,
Is she making a profit?
That's not right. I mean, someone must have complained.
Yeah, I don't remember how that came down exactly. So
usually,
but
you got some grumpy person.
Yeah. But my point is that as you move towards Marxism and socialism, a property right, if in fact you're giving away your intellectual property or your talents for free, they don't have a problem with it. But the minute you start to exchange money for that, then the Marxist, socialist, communist idea is we don't want that to happen. We don't want you to be able to create value and trade value for value. Mm-hmm. And I know, so I'm thinking about this whole property rights thing, I clearly don't have the answer on this, but I think it's important to think about, Karen.
It's really important to think about, and I think the other subject which you alluded to is many municipalities, areas of our state are looking at short-term rental, and we have found that many of our homeowners, property owners, have been able to utilize VRBO, Airbnb models to create some additional income into their homes, and cities are wanting to create registrations for that to limit how many properties can be offered in a community that do that. I'm sure at some point they are going to want to tax the revenue made on that, and that again is an assault.
They probably already do.
An assault on property rights there, and it's that balance where the city of Breckenridge has this legislation, these policies, ordinances in place. Right now, maybe it's not affecting their economy because they've limited. But there will be a time that things will reverse and they will hope that they had those units available.
Well, and I didn't realize, I was just thinking about, Breckenridge is a place where people, you know, might buy a place, and it would be very helpful for them to be able to rent that out. I didn't realize Breckenridge did
that. Yes. Yeah, and Grand Lake is looking at it. I'm not sure about Silverthorne. I know the Vail Valley, and I do believe it's probably in Telluride already.
So it makes it unaffordable for people to go and buy that second place. The other thing is, so they want that to stay empty. Let's just go here. They, as you mentioned, they think that your money's their money. But so you can't rent your second
home
out. And then so that means that you don't have people that are coming to
spend money,
in your community.
And I think, again, a lot of this starts with bad actors. I think a lot of this started with complaints where renters of these Airbnbs were not being respectful neighbors and being late at 2 a.m. on a Wednesday night, or to where people get infuriated and start making phone calls. I just rented a VRBO in Arizona this past week.
Did you have a big party?
No, but what I found very interesting is it was very restrictive. They had a book waiting for me when I got there with my family. On the wall, they had the pinups of like laminated sheets talking about being a good neighbor and respectful, and that we love our neighbors around. But one thing that they had implemented that I'd never seen before is it said outdoor use is restricted from 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. And they had installed some sort of decibel meter that after 10 p.m., if the meter reads over a certain amount, the police are automatically called. And they said that if that happens, it's $1,000 fine on me.
Okay.
So they're...
I couldn't believe that. 10 a.m. sharp. If you're not quiet, the police are automatically called.
Wow.
By a computer.
And you know that they did that so they could adhere to
So they don't get in trouble with
exactly.
the neighbors.
Exactly. They don't get in trouble, which in some respects is respectful and understandable, but they were imposed. But so they're trying to continue to do what they were doing, mm-hmm. but their rights are just getting a little more squished.
I wonder if the neighbors have to be quiet at 10 o'clock.
I doubt it.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Interesting.
You know,
okay.
if you were the property owner next door that had the party till midnight, mm-hmm. is your decimal meter
yeah, I wonder.
Go off?
I wonder.
I don't know.
These are good questions.
Yeah.
My friends, we are out of time, so I'm going to give you each 30 seconds. Karen, your final thought.
Oh, boy.
I love how you go to her first all the time. It gives me time to think.
There's a lot happening out there. I just encourage the listeners to be diligent, to continue to get educated as I continue to get educated. And thank you for letting us have a conversation. I know that after each conversation we have, my brain is really tired, but I start to formulate those ideas and you flush through them. And that's not to say that your opinions and your ideas aren't going to change over time as you become more educated.
Thank you, Karen Levine. That number is 303-877-7516. Lauren Levy, your final thought.
My first final thought? No, I think every time we talk, we find five other topics for other shows mm-hmm. we could have. So I always find that interesting. But no, I would tell people like to act. If you're mm-hmm. thinking about buying a house, call Karen now. Like, don't wait and see where things go. Prices continue to go up, or God forbid, rates go up and your buying power goes down. Or if you're thinking about doing something to get money out of your home or get a low rate, do it now. Just act and get it out of the way before things change and the opportunities change.
Okay, mm-hmm. and that's Lauren Levy, 303-880-8881. Always great to have you both in studio. Thank you so much.
Always a pleasure for me as well.
Okay, and our quote for the end of the day is from Milton Friedman. He says, one of the great mistakes is to judge policies and programs by their intentions rather than their results. My friends, today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America.